The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I had a formative moment for me in my Buddhist practice on a retreat. It was a Zen retreat called a Sesshin. And it was on the last day. And I was during that retreat, I was sitting right next to a visiting Japanese Zen monk who'd come to America to practice Zen in America, check out American Zen for a while. And there was a way in which these retreats were conducted where they served tea in the afternoon. So around 3 o'clock or so, there would be a little break, but in the meditation hall, and so we were sitting on these platforms, and we meditate facing the wall, but in this circumstance, we turn around and face the middle of the room. There would be a little piece of the platform would be space for it. They'd come and offer some tea and cookies and a cookie, and we would have, you know, in a ritualized way, be able to have this refreshment to carry us through the rest of the afternoon. And the first day they did this, they come with a tea cup and they give it to you, and they serve tea in it and the cookie. And when that's finished, you keep the teacup next to your seat for the next 7 days, so that you don't have to bring you a teacup again. It's your cup. The last day, they come and collect the teacup. And there's kind of a ritual way of doing it. You know, they come to silence in the meditation hall and everyone bows and offers the teacup up. And so, I've done this for a while. I knew, was familiar with how it was all done. And so there's a, you know, in Zen, it's all choreographed. And I knew the choreography. I knew how the theater worked, how the play worked. And this Zen monk who was sitting next to me, I think he was pretty comfortable with how it was done in American Zen because a lot of the ritual choreography had come from Japan. So it's all very similar to what he knew. And then during when they came to collect the teacups, he did something that was not part of the procedure. It wasn't choreographed. And so he had his teacup in front of him, and before he gave up the teacup, he did a deep bow to the teacup. And that kind of struck me. There was the idea that you'd be grateful or appreciative or offer... offer some kind of feeling of special care or attention or maybe even reverence to a teacup? I mean, give me a break, right? Given my background, it never would have occurred to me. A teacup. And so with that kind of background that I had, kind of, to watch this man offer this kind of care to this teacup made a big impression on me. And one of the impressions it made was the value, not so much of bowing to all the things, the objects of our life, but the impression that whatever we have, whatever comes through our hands, whatever we see, the objects, the things, the people of our lives, it's possible to meet it, be with it, as if it's an object of reverence, of care, of appreciation, where in and of itself, what it is itself, warrants our full attention to be really there for that thing. And that was a lesson that in Zen practice that I had to kind of relearn a number of times, because especially when I went to Japan, one of the things in Japan was that there was an expectation that you would kind of meet everything in the monastery with that kind of care. And one of the things was how you picked up the pot of rice. It was my job to bring the rice from the kitchen to the eating table. And there were it was a handle on the rice pot. And I would just pick it up with one hand. It was strong enough to hold in one hand and just carry it. But no. Gilson, they would say, you hold it with both hands. Rice you hold with both hands because you want to hold it with respect and care, and you really want to be there with it. And you find often in Asia that when you give something to someone, you don't just hand it to with one hand, or you don't receive it with one hand. You would actually hand it with two hands, and you'd receive it with two hands. And again, it's this kind of care and attention to the details of our life, to really be present for it and attentive for this thing, and not be casual with what we're doing, but to offer a certain kind of respect or care or appreciation or maybe simply attention to each object of our life without a hierarchy, that some things are more worthy of our attention than other things. What's on the computer screen is more important than where you put down your pen. You know, the pen is kind of casual. You know, it's like you just toss it down. It doesn't really matter. But perhaps, what if everything mattered equally? Mattered enough that it makes a difference in where you put something down and or the care, attention you give. So I have the striker here in front of me, the striker for the bell. And, you know, I could ring the bell, and then I could just, you know, we're done with that, and it doesn't matter anymore, you know, its function is over, and, you know. Or I could, you know, ring the bell, and then I can, with two hands, notice what's in front of me here. Be mindful, right? Pay attention. But in paying attention to what's here and what's in my hand, what feels like the appropriate attention? Or if I give myself really attention to this, would I just toss it down, or would I put it down as if it matters somehow? So when that monk bowed to his teacup, that set in motion for me a many years process of learning to be interested or curious, or learning to begin to kind of pay attention to what's here, as if what's in front of me, what's here. And part of that process of learning for me, and one of the reasons it was really, really rich for me, was it helped me to notice all the different beliefs, ideas, habits, tendencies I had to not do that. And that's a fascinating issue. Even if you don't believe that you should put down strikers carefully, mindfully, or just be really present with your teacup and hold it with two hands and pick it up, maybe you think that's silly or something. But why do you think it's silly? Or why do you feel that this is not worth it? Why do you think that there's something else is more important? So I found that in doing this, I found there were times that I was impatient, times that I was thinking ahead to the future, I was worried about things. I noticed that I had a clear sense of what was important. What was important was the things that I most want to get and to have. And once I got something, it didn't really matter. You know, it's important to get the dishes down, to put my food on. And I was willing to do carefully. But then when it was time to clean up the plate and put it back, I mean, it already served its function. Purpose of that is to get it over as quickly as I can so I can go on to the next thing. And as I started seeing all these attitudes that I had that I wouldn't have seen unless I kind of began kind of looking or questioning, what is it like to be with this experience? To really connect to it and be fully for this, fully for this. What are the hindrances? What are the beliefs that get in the way of giving the time to this activity, to this? This is what I'm doing. I also found that doing this was a tremendous aid to mindfulness and made the mindfulness kind of more three-dimensional, because if I tried to just be mindful of everything I did, it lent itself to kind of just being kind of mental a little bit or in the head with it. But to be present for everything, to, you know, so that the mindfulness had a sense of participation in the experience, made the mindfulness more three-dimensional. So so I could be mindful of myself picking up the striker to ring the bell. That's not, I can know I'm doing it, I can be present for that. But this kind of added kind of really being fully with something as if that's the most important thing of the moment. For me, that translated to let me participate with this experience. So how do it, not just how do we be more mindful in the experience, how does that mindfulness also become, how do I participate more fully in the action of the moment? And that made it more richer, more valuable, more connected, more intimate, more full, the experience I have, which I wouldn't have had if participating with putting the striker down. It actually feels much better in my arms and my hands. It just feels like it's connected and intimate. That in a way, if, you know, that doesn't do. Just tossing it down. So I'm not suggesting that you bow to your teacups or your coffee cups. But maybe there's a way in which that kind of attention to the details of your life, the mundane experiences of your life, can really be a way to augment and develop your practice of mindfulness, your practice of presence, your the path of freedom that we are on here. That you don't have to, if you feel like you don't have enough time to meditate, do you have enough time to drink your coffee or your tea with really just being there for that one thing? And not to do it reading the news or doing other things or doing it casually as if there's other things which are more important. But each moment is important. Each thing that you contact in your mundane life makes it special by how the attention you bring to it. So with that, I'll say that in a couple of minutes, we're going to, those of you who can stay, we're going to clean the center. And if you would like, you can clean whatever way you'd like, but perhaps cleaning is a chance to really be there for each activity of cleaning as if that is, you can fill in the blank, I don't know what language, what words are that work for you, but as if that is a sacrament to do, or as if that is the most important thing in the moment, or if that is where you have to kind of, if your whole life depends on just being fully there for that activity, or if that's an act of love, as if, you know, you're with your lover, and just with that, you and that broom, sweeping, you know? You might see, what is it you can bring? I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.